So baseball's back.
They must have listened to the podcast.
I'd like to believe that. I'd like to believe that we had some influence in bringing back baseball. But now, looking back on that, a lot of the things that I was bitching about on the previous episode, they ended up addressing.
Yep.
With the exception of analytics and stuff. You're not going to get rid of that. But
right. Well, and more importantly, I was right.
About?
That they were going to figure it out and baseball would be back soon.
I said they would come back.
You said it's gone forever.
The way it was. I didn't say the game would never come back.
Okay.
I said the way it was is
you
gone
were a
forever.
Lot less optimistic than I was about the situation resolving and the season starting, you know, at a somewhat normal time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had reason to believe that. The owners and the players don't necessarily get along.
Yeah.
Often. Whatever. I'm just glad baseball's back.
Me too.
Blue Jays are going to fucking destroy everyone. I hope. Anyways, welcome to While She's Napping. I'm Adam.
And I'm Cindy.
And we had a flood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It could have been a lot worse.
I mean, you documented it on the Instagram.
I did. Yeah. Yeah, so our water heater burst over last weekend. So we didn't get to record because we record in our finished basement. Which
half finished basement now.
Correct. So the reason why it wasn't as bad as it could have been is because the basement is finished with wall-to-wall carpet, which the carpet absorbed all the water, which protected all of our stuff and, you know, prevented the water from coming all the way across the basement and having there be like, you know, an inch of standing water across the whole room.
Not to mention it captures all the sound.
Right. So
this podcast.
Yeah. So most of our things, like all of our stuff was mostly fine. It we had to rip up like a third, almost half of the carpet in the basement and going through the process of, you
like
know,
that day.
Yeah. It was very fast. The day we found.
Actually, no. No, they didn't do the demo until
like
a couple
Wednesday.
Days later.
Yeah. It was Sunday that we. That
Sunday
it
when
happened.
We looked. Sunday yeah. when we found
Saturday,
out.
Saturday, we lost hot water, but.
Saturday, the doomsday happened and we just.
Didn't
I
realize.
Just, no, I knew.
You
I
did.
Just
see,
did
it didn't even cross
downstairs.
My mind because we had a very busy day on Saturday and it was in the afternoon when we were trying to pack everybody up and head out for a family thing. And we didn't have hot water when I was trying to wash some dishes before we left. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But the temperatures here in New England had been all over the place. It was like 20 degrees. So I just thought, whatever, it's cold. The water's not getting hot. It'll be fine when we get home. Didn't cross my mind to
well,
even come
I
look downstairs.
I had a hot shower that morning.
Right.
And I was fine.
Yeah.
I must have used the rest of it.
Yeah, or it burst sometime after your shower.
Hmm. Because that was what was going through my mind when we got back from the family thing, was don't go downstairs. Because if it burst, you're not sleeping.
Right, but we could have like moved all of our stuff out of the way so that the water wouldn't have... But then again,
we were dead. We were so
tired. I know.
Tired.
We wouldn't have wanted to do that at midnight either. We wouldn't have gotten any sleep. So.
Yeah. I was just like, don't go downstairs.
Out of sight, out of mind.
It's probably burst.
I'm glad you didn't say that to me because and, I wouldn't have
yeah,
slept.
Everything in my head all night, I was tossing and turning.
Thinking the basement.
I knew
see,
it was burst. I knew it.
I can't believe you weren't concerned to come down here because you have so much like memorabilia and sentimental things down here.
I'm all up.
On the walls. Yeah.
It's all elevated.
Yeah.
And the most valuable stuff, minus some family heirlooms, but the most valuable things of mine personally are on the complete opposite side of the basement.
Right. And luckily protected by
where
the carpet.
We're sitting right now, so we're good.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been a crazy, hectic week dealing with that. And we had talked before about doing an episode. You know, we had done a few. Yeah, that's the baby monitor,
all right.
if that's getting picked up, because the camera is not pointing at her, so I had to turn the volume up so I will hear her, because
okay.
I can't see her like normal, so sorry if you can hear her in that's the fine. Background. Yeah, so we had done a few other episodes on, you know, So You Wanna. So we did a So You Wanna Have a Kid, Start a podcast. So this is the next episode in that series. So you want to buy a house, because we've just been talking about, you know, this week with everything going on. And we also, before the water heater burst, we have been planning to do a remodel down here by turning our laundry room into a second bathroom.
Yeah.
And we've been planning this project for a couple years now. And, you know, we've had a lot going on the last couple years too. So we've kind of been dragging our feet. And now that with the basement being half demoed, it's kind of lit a fire under our asses to get the bathroom project going and just finish the whole project. But with all this happening, it just got us to talking about, you know, what we love about our house, the things that annoy us about it, and about, you know, being homeowners and how it differs from, you know, we were renters in an apartment for like just about as long as we've been in this house now, I think, like 7 or 8 years. Right?
Counting the first time we lived in Coventry?
That was only for a summer. Yeah, I'm talking about when we lived in our apartment.
In Providence. So we lived there from 2010 until 2016.
So six years, and we've been here for seven. Yeah. So
six.
Seven this year, right?
Six. It's 2022. We moved here in 2016. 2016.
Yeah, you're right. Math is not my strong. Tonight. No, I cannot. Like I said, it's been a long week.
Yeah. I just think that when it comes to shit like this, things that you weren't prepared for, things that you just come out of left field and totally disrupt your way of life, that's part of being a homeowner.
Yeah, well, it's part of adulting in general, because now I'm thinking about how right before this happened, we also had two mishaps with our car. Not anything major, but it was, you know, hurt our wallet a little bit with doing some pretty regular, but also really annoying maintenance.
Yeah, our brakes went out, and it's starting to get spring-like. I think it's fake spring in Rhode Island. You know that?
Maybe.
The spring where it comes really early, and then 2 weeks of blizzard.
Yeah, next week it's going to be like in the 40s again.
Yeah. So don't buy fake spring, but it's hit up to 60, almost 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Which in New England is hot enough for the air conditioning.
In the car. In the car.
Yeah, you were sitting in the car for a while.
And I realized the AC was just blowing hot air. And good thing we figured that out now in March.
Before we really needed it.
Right.
Yeah.
And everyone needs their AC serviced.
Right.
So get that out of the way. Get brakes out of the way. Both of our kids were sick. Again, common colds coming back.
And me.
We all got it.
Yep.
Our parents got it.
Yep.
My aunt got it.
Yep.
This is just regular colds being passed around. And, you know, before COVID, it was just like, family cold. And now it's just, is everyone all right?
Well, it's also because it's you don't want to go out
same
anywhere.
Symptoms.
Yeah, but you don't want to go anywhere in public and be like coughing or sneezing. I mean, honestly, this is a total tangent, but I'm kind of glad that mindset has changed for a lot of people, because it was never really, I think it has, like, it was never really cool to go, like, you know, sit in an office or go in public when you're hacking up a lung and spreading your germs to everybody and getting everybody in your at work sick or anything like that. Like,
oh, I get it, but guess what? No more sick days.
What do you mean?
You just have to work from home.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean,
that's what sucks.
Yeah, I guess, but
unless you have sick time.
Right, if people have the but I also think people having the flexibility to work from home is going to lessen the likelihood that they're going to feel forced to go into work and spread their germs to everybody, because if they miss work, they won't get paid.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I'm glad that the attitudes have changed a little bit when it comes to just like regular sickness, because it's very taboo to be out and about and sneezing and coughing still.
All right, we're about 10 minutes in. Let's start this. So how do you want to do this? You want to start from the process of buying a house, like run through that real quick, how much of a pain in the ass that is. And once again, we bought our house 6 years ago, approximately the summer of 2016. We don't have any experience as to what it's like to buy a house today with the market being absolutely fucking crazy as it is. We can only speak to a mild to moderate market. When we bought, it wasn't in anyone's favor, really.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty like status quo.
Yeah. So I think we should start there, just go over the basics of what to look for, what to do, and then we can go into what it's like to own a home.
Like the maintenance, yeah. Everything that comes after you feel like you've made this huge accomplishment.
Every time, you know, as soon as you feel like you have your castle.
Yeah.
You realize it's your castle.
Yeah, and you're responsible for everything. Yes. Yeah, so, right. So we're going to steer clear about talking about like the housing market and things like that. We know shit about how to navigate today's market because it's crazy. We actually thought about selling and looking for a new place in like 2020. It was like right in the beginning of the pandemic because interest rates were super low.
Yeah, right? it would just be a lateral move because if we sold all the houses were being sold for way more.
Right.
Than what they were worth, right? So say our house here in Rhode Island, the real estate market's pretty low in comparison to other areas. We just found out that California is fucking ridiculous. So Rhode Island, we bought our home for about, we'll say just over 200K. The housing market today, that same house, the way it was, probably could sell for about 300K.
Right. We were thinking we would get a pretty good return on our investment if we sold at that point based on the appraised value at the time, but it wasn't worth it because we would have paid an inflated amount for whatever house we wanted to buy.
Right. So if we were like, we have an extra 100 grand, the house that we wanted would have cost 600 grand.
Right.
And it would have been like
a wash.
Yeah. We can't afford that.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, so we dabbled very briefly in the idea of participating in the craziness of the market.
So we refied.
And yeah, we quickly ran the other way and decided to just refinance, take advantage of the low interest rates at the time.
Yeah, we sat in the kitchen. I remember we pounded a bottle of wine and we were like, all right, we need to make a decision. What are we doing? Are we staying and doing a bunch of remodels or are we trying to compete in this market right now? What are we doing?
Right. Because we were thinking about all the things that we'd want to do to this house to make it our forever home.
Like, yeah, bear in mind, we weren't pregnant with our second child yet.
Well, I'd hope not if I was pounding a bottle of wine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. So this one, we were planning on having a second child, but that wasn't what was holding us back.
Right. But like, we were talking about having a family of four in this house, how the setup is, what we'd want to do to make it, you know, so that we could see ourselves living here with two kids for the long term. And for the most part, we love our house. There's the one major thing. Well, it generally needs a lot of updating. You know, we have like the 1950s, 1960s, like salmon pink bathroom.
It's really not gross. As overwhelmingly salmon pink.
No,
as
it's
you
almost
would
like
think.
A beige pink.
I
it's
think
not
it because it was pink and it's over faded. 70 years old that it's faded to beige.
Maybe. But it's just it's just old. It's just outdated.
Yes.
But for me, the kitchen is also outdated. But the biggest gripe for me is the fact that we have this awesome finished basement that we use every day. It's not just like a storage space. We use it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. It's our office. It's a playroom. It's our gym space.
Podcasting area.
Everything.
Entertainment, everything.
Yeah. But you have to walk through the garage to get to it.
It only sucks during the winter.
I mean, I don't like feeling it so disconnected from the rest of the house. But that's the only big thing for me that I feel like we're probably never going to be able to change.
No.
Unless, I know your idea is to change, get rid of the garage.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about what it's like to buy a house.
Okay, sorry. So, so when we bought our house, we were in not great shape. We were, like many millennials, not in the position to put 20% down. We had no business doing that.
No, but Rhode Island has a kick-ass first-time home buyers.
Yes, we were able to
plan that you can put a minimum of 5% down on a conventional loan, 30-year conventional loan. You know, or you can do no down payment, but you have what is it?
PMI
throughout the entirety of the 30 years, whereas the conventional loan is for the first 15.
It's until you reach 20% equity in the house.
I think if you just pay normal payments, it's 15. But if you do, oh no, it doesn't matter. PMI is, but all you need to know is that PMI is limited in a conventional loan, in a
FHA was the other option.
FHA is the entirety of it.
Right.
And you
so
don't
you
have
pay
to put anything down.
0 to 3% down, but you pay PMI pretty much for the life of the loan.
Yes.
And PMI is not like cheap. It's not a trivial thing to add to tack on to your mortgage payment.
PMI is insurance for the bank, basically.
Yeah. Whatever program we were able to qualify for, we were able to get into a conventional loan, but not have to pay 20% down. But once we reached the 20%, our PMI was eliminated.
Right.
So with our refinance, that's what we did. We refinanced, got rid of the PMI and got a better rate. So that's pretty much the extent, though, of what we know about financing and the mortgage, ins and outs of the mortgage process. We were very fortunate to have a friend of ours who was our realtor.
Very patient.
Extremely. I mean, we looked at like 40 something houses, I think. She kept a tally.
We put 3 offers in, and I would say approximately 50 houses we've looked at.
She has said it was like over 40.
Yes.
It was every weekend for like a year we went looking at houses. And I guess the way that we ended up, right, we had 2 other purchases that fell through. One was at the inspection phase and one was at the appraisal phase. But both times, you know, we had, the contract signed, we had not the purchase and sales agreement, that's like the final contract.
No, we didn't
make it there, but we our offers were accepted.
$1,000, right?
Right.
For just to show good faith or something.
Yes.
But it was refundable.
Yes. and this one, the way that we ended up finally buying our house, I think is kind of a cool story because, like we said, we've been looking for so long. And when this one came on the market.
Hold on, before you do that. So the other offers we were doing, we were trying to negotiate. So we would say, hey, we'll do, if a house was listed for just spitballing like 212, we would say 210, you know.
And you pay closing.
You pay
costs.
Closing and we'll do this right now. And it was just those types of funky negotiations and they fell through, not because of the negotiations. They were agreed upon. Those terms were agreed upon. But when we got to the house we're living in now, you were away. You were on a
yes, this
a
is
raft.
The story I was about to tell.
Okay.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I was away at a conference for work, and I was on a canoe trip. And we were on the...
is this the one that you got stung by that blue hornet?
No, that's when I was in Oklahoma.
All right.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
No, I was out canoeing or kayaking, I don't remember, on the Mississippi River or something. And it was like, you called me and told me that this house was, there was an open house. And I think you were able to come and do a showing the day before the open house, right? You came.
It was a couple of days or the day before the open house. And I FaceTimed you.
Yeah.
That's how we looked at the house. And I walked in with our realtor and I really liked the upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, hardwood floors. As you said, the kitchen was a little outdated. They had a cat. So I was, you know, drawn to that.
And the yard was nice with the big deck.
Yes. And then as soon as they took me to the basement.
You were sold.
I said, this is our house. And you couldn't really see anything because
it
was FaceTime.
It was through FaceTime, yeah. But I mean, I got an idea of the layout and everything.
Yeah. And we got back into the car, myself and the realtor. The real estate agent, I should say, because whatever. And you were on FaceTime. And I remember saying, I'm not fucking around here. We're just going to offer
what
they want.
Well, I think she said, right, we got the car and she said, oh, shit.
Yeah,
because she knew too.
I said, this is the house. This is the house. I said, this is the house that I want.
Yeah. So we offered asking price. We didn't,
and I just
we
said,
didn't dig around with
pay closing costs.
That was the only thing. Right. And so what I was going to say is the market was a little bit competitive at that point. Nothing like it is now.
No.
But you had to pretty much offer asking at that point.
So they did have a showing.
So they had an open house that weekend. But we said, didn't we try to get them to accept our offer and cancel the open house?
I don't remember. But
I think it was something like that.
They said, we want to sell it to them,
yeah.
To us.
Yeah.
The owners of the house were...
They were a couple a lot like us.
Our age, or at least in our demographic, and we're moving on to a larger house. I'm not going to say what they did for a living. We know this because of the paperwork. But
I don't remember, so don't remind me.
they had good income.
Yeah.
Very good income. you know,
right,
we legal were able drug to see, dealer, basically.
We saw that because the only thing about this house that was like, we were afraid to jinx it or afraid this one was going to fall through because we had had two others fall through at various points in the process. It was conditional because they were in the process of purchasing another house and they had to wait for that sale to be completed and finalized before they could sign for sure that they were going to sell this house, obviously, because if their sale fell through, they were going to have nowhere to go.
Yeah, they were pharmacists, I'm just going to say it. So they made good money.
But yeah, we were like on the edge of our seats waiting for to find out if their sale was going to go through so that we knew this one could move forward.
Yeah, they were so nice to us that when we saw the house with them in it to take measurements, they were like, welcome to your new house.
Mm-hmm. And they we've like been, left cookies.
We've been dicked over so many times by the previous house that I was like, not yet.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, and our realtor had to go in and
explain.
Look, they don't mean to push back at you. It's just
right. It's not that they don't want the house. They just were burned.
Two houses have fallen through, so they don't want to get their hopes up.
Right. But, and we didn't even tell anybody about this until, like, other than maybe our parents, but we didn't tell anybody that we bought a house until we closed and right. We had the key in our hand because we really didn't want to jinx it.
And we, that day, you and I and our realtor hung out on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew. It was shaded because of all the trees and stuff. We were just, this is where we're going to live.
Yeah, and I remember, I still get emotional thinking about that day because I remember that so vividly. And I remember sitting there on the deck thinking, like picturing my kids playing in the backyard and like picturing a garden bed over there and like a swing set over there or whatever. And now we have that. And I watch, you know, our older daughter run around in the backyard and I always think about that time.
It's easy to romanticize when you're buying the house and it's great. It's really cool, especially if you're planning on having a family. Even if you're not, you're like the idea of implementing memories into that place, that space. I get very sentimental about places that I've lived. I still get, if I walked into that Providence apartment, mm-hmm. I'd probably get a little sentimental because you and I went through so much in that apartment. It's where we found our cat.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot to us, even though it's kind of in a shady area. I think often about what it's going to be like when, you know, not anytime soon, but when my mom's no longer with us and I have to sell that house, like different people moving into my childhood home and it doesn't
belong. It's very weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So I get very attached to the places that I live. I don't think that's really odd.
I think, right. Well, and I know that our kids are probably going to feel that way about this house.
Yeah. The reason why I'm bringing this up is, yes, you're going to get very romantic about the things that are going to happen, and then when it's your house you realize, okay, I want to change mm-hmm. that, we got to upgrade this.
Well, the longer you live there, the more things you realize you want to change.
We went 2 years before we had central air in here.
Yeah.
And we had window units in mm-hmm. one in the fucking kitchen above the sink.
Yep, that was the only place to put it.
Yep.
It's the only window that fits a window unit in that whole like main living area of the house.
Well, and thank God too, because one time we locked ourselves out and that was the only way we could break into the house.
Oh, that's right.
Through the kitchen window. We had to bang in the window unit.
I climbed through this over the sink.
So thank God. And all the bedroom rooms, and the only room that we couldn't have an AC in was the main living room because we have a giant bay window.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why we had it in the kitchen window.
It barely reached.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable. So that was our first big upgrade, was the air conditioning.
We needed central air, and we got it. And it's just like little things, painting of walls, which is not a big deal. But
no. Well, I painted all the shutters and the front door last year. I repainted all the trim. We did a lot of little things like that before we had the appraisal done.
Yep, painting the deck,
mm-hmm.
power washing, painting the deck. Looking at your landscaping options, what you want to do. The biggest bitch, though, is mishaps like what happened with us when your water heater bursts. And you don't realize, A, the cost of that. And so far, knock on desk, we haven't had to battle with our insurance company.
We're still pretty early in the process.
Everything has been seamless. When it came to clearing out the water.
Yes.
And the demolition of everything.
Yes, we called an emergency, you know, water restoration cleanup service. They came out the same day. They still have their fans and stuff here now, but they're coming to get them tomorrow. So it's like a full week of that. And our insurance company is paying them directly.
Yeah.
So, and we don't even have to deal with that.
That's exactly what the plumber said when he took out the
old heater
and put a new one in, said, "Have you used your home insurance?" And I said, "No." He's like, "This is what it's
now
for.
Now's the time." Yeah.
This is exactly what it's for.
Right. And apparently this is a really common thing that happens all the time.
That's what he said. He said, "This is what you use it for. You don't, I don't know what else there. I'm sure there are
lots
multiple
of things."
Options.
We have some stories from our listeners. I know, about other things you need your insurance for.
No, but it's for things like the, when an appliance or utility
fails,
breaks,
and
ruins your property.
Right.
That's what you use the insurance for.
Yeah.
And it's just, you don't realize how comfortable you are in your routine until you're fucked with your routine.
Right. That's the thing that sucks about having to do. I mean, it's one thing when it's like a remodel or a renovation or something that
you
are planning.
You can prepare for that.
Right. And you're prepared for. I mean, it's still pretty inconvenient. It sucks, especially if you're doing like I remember when I was a kid, my parents redid the kitchen. And it was a huge, like the whole upstairs.
Same.
Yeah. And you're like
living. We spent day trips going places.
Yeah. I remember we had a finished basement too. So we had like a microwave and a sink down there, like behind the bar.
Yeah.
And we made do, but like it is really inconvenient, but you get, it's whatever. But yeah, when it's unexpected, it really turns your life upside down, especially with little kids. That's why I'm just glad that this didn't happen like right after she was born.
Or right before,
which we also have a listener story about
during Christmas, or right before one of the kids' birthdays.
Yeah, when we were planning on having a lot of people here and stuff. Yeah.
It's a blessing in disguise that it happened in this period when really nothing's going on and it's just about to.
Yeah.
So it could have been way worse. It could have been in the dead of winter, December or February, or like December, January, February. And the pipes freeze because there's no hot water flowing through it or what have you.
Right.
I mean, we'd still have our heat, so I guess the pipes wouldn't necessarily freeze. But you want to take a hot shower when it's a fucking cold ass day.
Mm-hmm. Well, even just for it was like 2 days that we didn't have hot water. It sucked because we had to boil a pot of water to like do the
all
dishes.
The time.
And we needed to wash bottles and
we needed to give our kid a sponge bath.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to hype it up.
Yep.
Say, this is a once in a lifetime thing. It's the best. You're a big girl.
Yep.
You've earned this.
You don't even have to get in water. You just get to get clean with this washcloth. It's so cool.
You just hype it up. But, you know, having all the stuff in a particular area that you utilize, and then when you have to move it and make it tighter, you realize, fuck, like, what are we doing? Especially for us, when this is our work area, we had to move our work area. And we also had this. We work downstairs, and when one of our moms are watching the kids, they're upstairs.
Right.
And that's the benefit of having the garage separate the entrance.
That's true. It's a completely separate space.
So the kids don't even think.
Yeah, we're out of sight, out of mind.
Through the door, through the garage downstairs. They don't think about it.
Yeah.
But now, because the basement was inaccessible, we had to send them to daycare every day.
Yep.
Because we had to work upstairs because of all the industrial fans that were going on and the giant
ass way too loud
dehumidifiers.
Yeah.
Couldn't work downstairs. And it was too crowded at the time. We couldn't move things to the unfinished area. Terrible. And this is where I work out downstairs. Thank fuck I didn't cancel my gym membership.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to do that. That was like a sort of an adjustment. It was just relatively new.
Yeah.
It was more like a reintroduction to it. On top of that, the kids are sick. It's just, you don't know how much of a routine and how comfortable you are.
Yeah, you take it for granted.
Until it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, you can nitpick about I hate this kitchen. But imagine if a pipe bursts in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I am very grateful. Like, I feel like when we were thinking about moving and everything, you were more gung-ho about moving than I was. Like, I was more...
Thank God we did.
No, I mean, like, to sell this house.
Oh, because
of the market. And buy a new one. Right, but I feel like I was always like, no, I could see us living in this house long term. I think there's just some things that we need to chip away at over time. And that's what it is. You just bite off little chunks and always prepare. Like, don't think, okay, we have this amount of money. Like, we can do this many projects because it costs this exact amount. You need to reserve some because there's always going to be something unexpected. Like, I'm still terrified when we do any of the big, once we finish the basement, you know, whatever, 5-10 years down the line, we're ready to do the upstairs. They're going to pull up the floor and find like mold roots or like foundation issues or like, and it's just going to, and then like your whole main living area is ripped up. Right. And you don't want to get stuck where you can't afford to fix whatever the underlying issue is. So it's scary. It's a lot of anxiety. But at the end of the day, I'm really grateful that we had all of the things, like you said, everything kind of aligned where we had a great daycare who was willing to take the kids on 2 days when they don't normally attend. You know, that we could afford to do that and that our insurance was current, that it auto renews every year. Because we would have been fucked if we didn't have our insurance.
So the key here that I want to talk about before we get into a break is, if you love the house, if you love it, if you're looking for houses and you love it, be aggressive and get that house. You know, don't try to be house
poor. If you can.
Yeah,
right.
Don't be house poor, right? So if you know, if your bank is going to tell you that you could take out a loan for way more than you can afford.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you that. So
because they base it on your gross income.
On your gross. So you got to look at your net. So if you know that you could afford, I don't know, $1,500 a month, I'm just spitballing.
Right, like in your personal budget.
If you can afford, if you're paying $1,500 on rent and you're like making it without having like excess funds, if you're just getting by with $1,500, that's what you should be paying for your mortgage.
Probably less.
Probably a little less.
Your cost of upkeep and maintenance in a house versus a small apartment.
I'm assuming there's a savings built into that. Okay. Right? So that's what I mean by making it, not living paycheck to paycheck. I'm sure. Saying, like, making it work.
But even so, you want to keep saving once you have a house.
Right. So let's just say that you're paying rent $1,300. I don't know. Whatever.
I know what you mean.
You should try to make your payments for your mortgage equal to your rent right now. If you can get them lower, that'd be great. But you definitely don't want to be paying more.
Well, you might. It just matters what your, like you said, if you're paying $1,500 for rent right now,
you don't
and you're
want to be paying more,
you're banking like $1,000 a month or whatever, and you have that extra expendable income. That's what you base it on.
Yeah. I'm saying if you're struggling.
Yeah, if you're struggling, then
you don't want to be paying.
Yeah,
more.
Because you're going to end up getting you know, blindsided by something, and if you can't,
right?
Yeah,
don't get sucked into, and it's not a dirty practice by the banks saying this is what your loan amount is. We were fortunate enough that our loan officer was saying this is what we're giving you. I wouldn't recommend buying a house.
Yeah, we were
this.
Pre-approved for more than twice what we ended up paying for this house,
but we said this number
is our budget
is the limit we can buy a house at.
Which it was a good blessing in disguise that those first two purchases fell through because they were both right at the top of our budget.
And the
this
first one
was
needed
significantly
a lot of work.
Oh God, it needed like $30,000 worth of work, and the sellers were like, "Nah, we're not going to drop the price."
Yeah. So if the people that you're dealing with are giving you shit, walk away. Yep. Just don't. It's not worth the headache. I know it's cliche. Our realtor said this to us. You'll find that house.
And you'll know.
You will find that house. You'll find that house that you fall in love with, and you'll know. It's just like a marriage. You'll know. And as soon as I set foot in this house, I knew. I knew it. Yeah. And we've had the fucking oil tank burst, almost.
Yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
We had to break down a wall, get the oil tank in and out. It was just awful. Anyways. We're going to take a break here. We're going to hit up the polls and we'll go back to you in a bit. Hang tight.
So we put up some polls to see what other people thought about, you know, what it's like to be a homeowner. And we know.
Or a boat owner.
Or a boat owner. We'll get to that. So,
technically, yeah. We were living on a boat when our basement was flooded.
Sure, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, so we figured that we would, you know, a lot of people would relate to this situation that we've been in with the water heater and all that, and you know, planning for a remodel with the adding the bathroom, and we wanted to see what some of the other stories that were out there and feelings people had about being a homeowner. So we first just asked, you know, how many people are a homeowner, and 83% of the people who responded said that they were. And of those people who responded, we asked how many have had to go through some sort of, like, you know, major repair or like event, you know, an insurance claim worthy type thing, or some sort of like renovation, major renovation. And 65% said yes. So it's, yeah, it's very common. And I would guess the people who said no are probably relatively new homeowners. Maybe it just hasn't come around yet, but...
Or very lucky.
Yes, one way. Your time will come.
Or very satisfied.
Right, or the... Right, they, it's also possible. You know, we bought a house that we knew was gonna... It's an older house. It was built in the 50s. Like...
It wasn't an urgent thing to have to remodel things.
Right, exactly. It wasn't... the house was functional. There wasn't, you know, all of the systems...
It wasn't one of those... It's got good bones.
Right, right. It wasn't a fixer-upper, yes, per se, but it also wasn't like, you know, a newer build that had modern features. Like, it could use some updating. Sets. Yeah, but it was a very livable house. Let's,
yes,
put it that way.
Yes.
So I guess a lot of people who said no maybe bought a more modern house that was a newer build and probably didn't need a lot of work, but yeah, it's just a matter of time. And then we were curious to know if people who have owned a home preferred that over renting. You know, we were renters for, like we said, just as long as we've been homeowners. And I think, you know, given everything we discussed in the first half about the ups and downs and the joys and stresses of owning a home, I still prefer being a homeowner 100% over renting, because... everything you do in the house, even if it's an unexpected or significant expense, is an investment, and it increases the value of the house and the equity that you have in the property. So as much as it can be a pain in the ass and it can be overwhelming and stressful, I think it's worth it. And like we talked about with just the sentimental value of it and all that. So, renting, it's convenient because you have someone else who comes and does your lawn, takes care if there's something, an issue with a utility or something needs to be repaired. That's not on you. Removal, like all, yes, that. It's more convenient.
I can see why that's attractive, though, and compelling to people that are, particularly those that are single,
mm-hmm,
and those that don't want to get married and have kids, like just want to live, not alone, but just don't want commitment.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, yeah. You don't want to be committed to a house. I can totally see the allure to that, because when we were renting, these things that we're experiencing as homeowners didn't even enter my mind, right? So there was a time when we lived in the Providence apartment that we lost hot water. Just call the fucking landlord, yep, get the shit fixed right away.
Too. The whole, like, system, yes, had to be replaced.
Get it fixed now. And they have to.
Yep. And every time there was a snowstorm, we just wait for them to come dig us out.
Plow us out. You know, we didn't have to mow that lawn once.
Nope.
Nothing. Landscape that. That's
although
your
you love
lawn.
That now. That's your pride.
Yeah,
joy.
Yeah. But again, this didn't even enter my mind.
Right.
Right? It's, that's your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
That this is your property. You have to, obviously we have a responsibility to keep it in shape.
Of
like
course.
We can't bang on the walls and destroy it. But when it comes to just, you know, having the convenience to just not have to worry about a house or the upkeep or the maintenance and have someone else have to worry about that as their problem, I can see the attraction to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like all but one person agreed that, well, agreed with my preference that it's worth it to own a home, and they prefer owning over renting.
Because you're paying for nothing when you rent.
Right.
You're just paying to live.
Well, right. And you're paying for that convenience of what you're saying, having, you know, not having to worry about it. But right, it's not, you're not investing in it. You're just throwing that money away every month. That's what it feels like. Or that's what it felt
like
for us.
It's a subscription to some service. That's all it
is. Yeah. So, I wasn't really surprised by that answer. I was kind of disappointed. The one person who said that they prefer to rent did not say why.
Punk ass bitch. No, I'm kidding.
So, I would have been interested in that. But anyways, so the last thing we asked, which I want to make sure we have time to go over these because some of these are really good. We just wanted to hear people's stories of like, what has it been like for you to own a home and, you know, tell us the good and the bad and the ugly. So I want to start first with two people submitted similar stories to ours about water heater bursting. Like we said, apparently it happens all the time.
Every but 10 years, they, apparently.
Remember how we talked about in the big picture, it happened at a pretty good time, if there's ever a good time for something like this to happen, that it could have been a lot worse because of the timing. These two poor people did not have that luck. One person, their boiler went 2 days before she gave birth.
Oh.
And I
so
know...
So they didn't have any heat.
Right. And I know this person. And I'm pretty sure this was probably one of her pregnancies that went long. She was probably like, done, like, get this baby out of me, like,
do
waiting for the baby
the
to come. I don't remember.
Oh, I hope it wasn't winter.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, she went into labor and her husband was had to be on the phone with the repair guy while she was in labor. Because they had the guy at the house trying to fix the hot water heater. So that, you know, they would have hot water when they returned home from the hospital with their newborn.
If it was, I shouldn't say if it was just hot water. I'm hoping that this didn't happen in a cold month and it didn't affect their heat.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Because I'd rather not have heat and hot water in the summer rather than not have both in the winter.
Sure. Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyways,
but anyway, that's just like,
that sucks.
Yeah, that's just a very stressful situation. And to never mind have your birth partner be distracted by something like that while you're in labor. Like,
look, that's why I didn't want to come downstairs the night before.
Yeah, you just didn't even want to lose sleep over it.
You weren't in labor. I wanted to sleep.
Yeah. So
that's rough. That's
rough. And then I think this.
That's a king.
Another right similar situation, but I think this also is one ups both of the previous, ours and the previous. Our water heater flooded our first floor 3 days after our 30-week preemie twins were born.
Ouch.
So, talk about timing.
Oh.
3 days.
3 days.
So, they had twins born at 30 weeks. So, 10 weeks early.
Oh.
So, they were preemies in the NICU. And that's when their water heater burst and flooded their whole first floor.
Oh.
Imagine, because at that point, like, the mom was probably still, might have still been in the hospital, recovering from a C-section maybe, I don't know, probably, and the babies were still in the hospital, and they're probably going back and forth between trying to deal with all the crap at the house.
So you said 10 days, you
Sorry,
meant 10 weeks.
10 weeks, yeah, the
they
water heater
flooded.
They still
had 10 weeks of cook time.
Yes,
yeah,
the water
okay.
heater flooded
all
3
right.
days after
yes.
the twins
yes.
were born 10 30, weeks early.
Yes, okay, so 30 weeks they were,
yeah.
Oof.
So that's just a tad stressful.
So obviously we didn't ask this person the details about the birth. It's none of our business. I'm just asking you, how long would someone stay in the hospital for situations like that on average?
You mean the mother?
Yeah, and the children.
Well, assuming she had a C-section.
Yeah.
I don't know because I've never had one. Probably a week.
Okay, so it's not
or 5
like,
days for a C-section recovery, I think.
Okay.
But who knows if there were
I don't
other
know
complications.
How long the children stay in the hospital.
In the NICU? I think for, well, so my only experience with someone I know who had a preemie, it was even earlier than 30 weeks, though. It was 20-something weeks. They wanted the baby to stay until what would have been the due date. So that was
so like 13 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm just
so that would have been the baby. If that was the case here, they would have kept them until...
See, that would have sucked.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this didn't suck, but imagine coming home to that.
Well, the parents did, or the dad, someone did.
No. Imagine.
Oh, with the babies?
No. So this happened while they were in the hospital?
Okay. So the water heater flooded the first floor 3 days after the twins were born. So I'm assuming the twins were still in the NICU.
Got it.
And the house was flooded. So the parents, or at least the dad, I don't know what mom's situation was, but was going back and forth. I can imagine going back and forth from the hospital.
And it was probably
going to see the babies, waiting for the babies to come home, dealing with this issue at the house. Yeah, trying to make sure everything is done before the babies come home.
I imagine this is their first.
I think these are their only kids. Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Reading some of these out, like, just made me so grateful that our, yeah, like, we knew our situation could have been worse.
Yeah.
Could have been worse, but like, yeah, damn.
That's a, oof.
So those were the two other water heater stories that people shared.
Check your water heaters, people.
Yeah, seriously. Drain them. So, yes, we learned. You're supposed to drain them once a year. You hook up a garden hose to the spigot at the bottom.
You can get a sensor.
Or you can get a sensor and both. Or do both. Yes. Okay, so this was a fun one. Not sure the category this falls in, being like best or worst, because I guess it could be either. We have a locked safe in our house that we haven't been able to open yet. Creepy. We speculate about what's inside, but haven't gotten it open, despite finding the combination under the stairs. So they have the or what they think is the combination, but they still can't open this creepy ass safe.
Did they try to do it backwards?
I don't know.
You gotta try backwards. Different ways of doing the combination.
I mean, they probably did, I would guess. But that just makes me wonder, if there's the combination but doesn't open that safe, there's probably another fucking safe somewhere.
Oh, that's true.
And there are ways showed you me, can. So this person texted me a picture. It's like inside the wall. It's really creepy.
Okay. So, and they own the home?
Yes.
They can get someone to open that. They own it.
Yeah. But I mean, that's its own hassle and expense to pay a locksmith to come out and do it.
Don't you want
to
know?
I know. I want to know.
Because if there's something dead in there.
Something dead?
Well, I don't know.
But I doubt it was something living that got locked in the safe.
No. I'm saying, like, it could be a skull.
Oh my god. Okay, you went real dark. I mean creepy, but just like,
where the fuck else are you supposed to go? I don't know. I just think
it could, who knows? It could be like
jewels?
I don't know. I was thinking like documents. Rubies? I was thinking documents.
Like an Indiana Jones?
I mean, okay, well, to this person,
I guess people would probably go to cash first. When you're ready to open the safe,
I want to come over. I want to see what's inside.
No, they should do a live stream.
They should. The day they're finally going to open it.
You know what they should do? They should open it up beforehand and so find out what it is.
Oh, but then that's not genuine. I want their actual authentic reactions when they open it.
Fake it. And when they open the safe, like the camera goes all shuddery and distorted and like the hand comes out.
Oh my God, this is like, you put too much thought into this.
And then you just shut the video off and she ghosts for at least 2 weeks.
Just doesn't show up to
work. Doesn't go anywhere. Doesn't show up. Like, under the radar, puts in 2 weeks of PTO.
Oh my God.
And just
that would be an elaborate prank. That's for sure. Hey, April Fool's is coming up.
Yeah, you. This is a perfect time.
Yeah. All right, we'll coordinate that. Okay, so then a general one. They did a best and a worst. So the best thing is making the house your own, decorating, painting, doing renovations, all of that stuff. So like all the stuff that is kind of a pain in the ass or can be, and it can, you know, the cost can add up over time, even for little projects, is also kind of what makes it awesome.
You put your personal touch on it.
Yeah. But right, the worst, the other hand of that is how much upgrades cost. So.
And how often you have to do them, like, especially during.
You will always find something.
Normal circumstances, you will.
Yeah.
It is times 20 if you're in lockdown.
That's true. Yeah, during the pandemic, we found so many things that we wanted to fix and upgrade.
And when we wanted to upgrade things, so when 2020 hit, we were saying to ourselves, all right, let's get this downstairs bathroom going because we're going to think about having another child. You know,
well, we were down here all the time. It would have been convenient.
Regardless.
Yeah.
We're going to need two bathrooms. And at this time, we didn't know if we were going to have another girl, but we were thinking, if we're having another girl, we definitely need another bathroom.
Yeah.
Even if we didn't, we needed one, but this more than ever, we need one. And the people that came to take measurements and stuff said everyone wants...
is doing renovations.
We are so backed up. Everyone
and
is
the
so
supply
backed
chain
up.
Issues, you couldn't get materials, lumber, cabinetry, all
everyone,
that stuff.
Because everyone's at home just staring at things saying, mm-hmm. oh, I can put that there. Oh, yeah. We can do this over here.
Right.
And we were no exception. Yep. We're still no exception.
Right.
But in normal circumstances, yeah, you think to yourself, oh, I kind of want to get that fixed. And then you prioritize, right? So we want to get sliding basement windows in here.
Yeah, just to be able to get some fresh air down here.
But we also want to get our shed fixed up because it needs it. Yeah. So I'm thinking if I had to choose, I can put off the basement windows for another year.
That's just something that's like nice to have, but it's not necessary. Our shed needs like structural repairs.
Yeah, you sort of prioritize.
Yeah.
What can you wait on?
Right.
But not what you don't want to wait on. You don't want to wait on anything.
The basement, hopefully, like we said, we our insurance was current. We think it's going to cover it. But if it doesn't for some reason, that's going to take away from, like, the windows might have to wait another couple of years because, you know, we're going to have to spend a little bit more money getting the basement done now.
Yeah. That's what we talk about the kitchen. Just got to wait.
Yep. I'm waiting very patiently.
You have to wait because that is the biggest bitch of an upgrade.
Oh, I know. It's the most expensive. Absolutely. Yes. But it's also the room that you use the most, arguably.
Yeah.
The kitchen and the bathrooms. That's why they're essential rooms in your house. You're there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for a new kitchen. I just want a fucking dishwasher. Like, it's such a basic thing for most houses, but we've never had one. Okay, so let's move on to this annoying story. Not the story's annoying. The situation's annoying. So this was Christmas morning. Again, talk about timing. I don't know if these people were hosting Christmas or not. Oh, God. Yeah, we had a Christmas from hell. That's a story for another day. Christmas morning, 2 years ago. A giant tree split in half, smashed through the roof of the garage, knocked out power for the whole street for half the day on Christmas morning when everybody's like, you know, trying to get their roast in the oven or like
get
their Christmas dinner ready.
If this was Christmas 2019, that sucks.
Right. 2020, what were you doing? Who was coming over?
It sucks regardless.
It does suck, but I see you're less likely that you were like hosting a large gathering.
Right. And even if you were, that's whatever.
No judgment. But the giant tree smashing through your garage sucks on any day of the year.
Yes. But imagine it, 2019, when COVID was just something in China, and you're having everyone come over. And be like, oh, well, we have this fucking giant tree on our garage.
You would have had to cancel to take care of that. So again, I feel like that is also, that's a call to your insurance for sure. But yeah, that sucks. I feel like I remember when this happened too. I thought there were some cars damaged, but maybe not. Maybe the cars weren't in the garage. Yeah. I remember this
story.
Oh, I know
who we're talking about. Yeah. Okay. In the bucket?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yes, I think that was 2020.
Yeah, he said, 2 years ago.
Yes. Okay, well, Christmas 2 years ago was technically 2019, right? Because we haven't hit 2022 Christmas.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But,
yep.
That sucks. But then again, those are just natural disasters.
Oh, yeah. Insurance will cover that 100%.
Yeah. Of course, they're unexpected.
Right.
But if I remember correctly, I was always like, that tree's going to fuck up this house.
Right? It was like foreshadow. You kind of saw it coming.
That tree is not in a good place. So that's how I feel about my mom's house. That tree has survived Hurricane Bob.
Yeah.
Back in the early 90s in Rhode Island. We were certain that was going to fall into our house.
Yeah. My mom's had to cut down, I think, like every tree in her yard because it was at risk of falling onto the house.
They won't do it.
Hey, your mom's house, the tree didn't fall, but a branch fell on my car. Do you remember that?
It did, yes.
It smashed my windshield.
Yep.
My insurance covered it. Yep. But yeah, it sucks. Stuff like that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks because the premiums now, speaking of insurance, they're going to go up.
Yeah.
But what
are
you going to
do? What are you going to do?
It's not like we could have prevented this.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's not like you can prevent a tree falling onto.
Well,
your
you can if you recognize that the tree is diseased or is like there are unsteady.
During a storm,
right? During a storm, is this? Yeah, but Otherwise, right, you just have to pay attention to like overhanging branches that are near a structure in your property or over a car or whatever where you park your vehicles.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. That's what I mean. It's hard to keep track of everything. Like trying to remember when's the last time we had the septic tank pumped and when did we replace the oil tank? When did we service that? When did we service the air conditioning? Like
we service the boiler every year. Your cousin does it.
Yeah, I know. It's just I'm saying it's just a lot to keep track of.
Yes.
Like to make sure that you're maintaining everything, all the systems in the house, all the utilities. And it's inevitable that you're going to forget something. Okay, so I think we have just one more to close it out. You referenced it earlier. So if becoming a homeowner sounds too daunting, you can always sell everything to live the life of a pirate.
No, because they're docked.
Not all the time.
Yes, but their home is at the dock.
Mm-hmm. I think people know who we're talking about. If
I'm not saying.
I mean,
we can't say it because then they're gonna.
That's true. We call us out on not being. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I think so. They did say no that they weren't homeowners, but I would totally count if you own a boat and that's
you have to do your own maintenance.
It's a houseboat, right? Yes. You own it. You don't rent it. It's yours. And
didn't
it's yours.
You have to do a bunch of maintenance in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
That's what
they had.
You don't have.
Remember when
it boat caught renters on, insurance?
Remember when the boat caught on fire?
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Didn't they lose hot water or something?
Hold on. They also
didn't
sent
your
me a
hot water heater burn? I don't know.
Horror story. Realizing I have to learn how to be a boat mechanic, and also our boat almost caught on fire within the first month we were living on
okay,
it.
Okay, but fair.
So add becoming an electrician to the list.
You figured it out.
Yeah.
You did. And
because you have to. You're forced to.
And, you know, kudos. We're not hating at all. But you are a dwelling owner.
Yeah, you own the place where you live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And boats are no joke when it comes to maintenance.
Yeah, I bet you it's harder. I bet you it's harder to find people to fix up shit in a boat because
it's more specialized. Imagine,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's less common.
Well, not here. I mean...
I don't know.
In Rhode Island?
I don't know.
We're the ocean state.
And?
There's a lot of boats.
Yeah, but more people... How many people live on those boats?
Well, it doesn't... But I'm saying the experts who repair and maintain boats are... Like,
okay, fine, fair, but...
numerous.
I don't know that people are living in a boat here in Rhode Island, right? You don't want to live in a boat in the winter. You don't want to fucking do that.
No, you can't do it year-round here.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, no.
Just,
where they live, it's fine. They can do it year-round. But no, here, that's not a thing.
Yeah. All right. Is that all the responses we got?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're thinking about buying a home, I think, I know it sounds like everything is going to break because it will.
Yeah.
But it is worth it. It is.
It doesn't all break at the same time.
No, but it is. It's part of being a homeowner to be pissed off about where you live and, you know, being frustrated with certain things. Because then you discover these frustrations and then you get... you know, sort of technical with it. You get, you know, your ingenuity skills go up to 1,000. You work ways around it or
you MacGyver it.
Yeah, you do YouTube it. You MacGyver it.
You call your dad or your handy cousin every now and then.
You're kind of like, I know how to fix this temporarily. And that temporary fix you rely on for years.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's a trend on... I think it's on TikTok, which I'm not on. I end up seeing them on Reels or whatever. But there's like a show us the one thing in your home that is broken, like, but you all just learn to live with it and pretend like it's not happening. Have you seen those?
No, but
they're funny. There's one that's like they can't flush the toilet in their bathroom. Like there's no flusher. It's like a mechanism that is like attached to the toilet tank still, but they have to like turn a screwdriver in it to flush it. And they just never fixed it. So it's like shit. But to them, they're like, that's just how we flush our toilet.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get by. So you learn, you'll end up having little quirks and things in your house. Like,
yeah, I encourage you, especially if you can afford it, if you want to, whether it's a boat or an apartment,
a condo, rather,
yep,
or a townhouse, yeah.
Or a house, whatever. And if you want to live there, own it, I encourage it. Just having something that is your own. And that you can invest in because, you know, we didn't talk about this, but if you pay an extra mortgage payment a year, it cuts your mortgage from a conventional 30 down to an 18, 7 years, I thought it was 12.
Yeah.
So 23, right? So in our case, we'll be just about 60 if we continue to do this, or I will be just about 60.
Well, this year's extra payment went to the water heater.
Sure. just around 60 when the house is paid off. Like that, to me, knowing how long it takes for people to pay off their houses and because of constant refis and whatnot, that sounds comforting.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I probably won't be retired, but knowing I'm not going to have...
I will.
You know, $1,000+ mortgage payment every month. That sounds sweet.
It does.
You know, yeah. But when you rent, they never go away. Mm-hmm. It will never go away.
Right.
You will never own that. Unless you rent to own, which is a thing. You can rent to own.
Yeah.
But it's rare.
Yep. The only last thing that I'll say is something I always thought that was the case when we were looking for a house, and I found it to be very true, is the location is really key, because no matter what, like we talked about, no matter what house you get, you're always going to find something that you want to change about the house. You're always going to want to do upgrades, renovations, whatever, make it your own. But you can't change the location of the house.
Oh yeah, research your neighbors.
So the neighborhood is important. Even if it's a house that is a little outdated or doesn't have every single thing that you want, and it's in a fantastic location and you love the neighborhood, I think it's worth it to invest in that property to make it exactly what you want.
Yep.
In the location that you want. Like, all don't right. settle for a gorgeous house that's in a shitty location and neighborhood that you don't like.
Ask the people that live in the house that you're trying to buy about the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could be moving out because of the neighbors.
That's
ask
true.
About the neighbors.
That is true.
And
yep.
We are fortunate that we have the best neighbors because they don't fucking talk to us. It's the best.
We had an episode on that a while ago.
It's the best. All right, so we'll wrap it up here. If you would like to give your input about buying a house or whether or not you're on the fence about it, if you have any other questions about it, you can contact us on our Instagram.
While she's napping.
It needs your voice. Also, next week, you brought it up yesterday after a conversation with one of your friends. I'd like to dabble in to the dangers and benefits, but the dangers of at-home workouts, specifically Beachbody. It needs to be talked about. We talked about the MLM aspect of it.
Yep.
But... you know, this isn't your grandfather's beach body anymore.
Right. On the MLM episode, I talked about how much I enjoyed the actual programs and the fitness aspect of the beach body company.
Yes. And the workouts are becoming questionable.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. So I would like to talk about that on our next episode. So I know a lot of people that listen to this that we hang out with have dabbled into beach body workouts. So it would be interesting to get their perspective on that. So,
yep.
That being said, we appreciate the listen. We appreciate you hanging in there with us. I know we've been doing this sort of bi-weekly. We had every intention to do this last week.
Right. It just wasn't possible.
We couldn't. Now we got to turn these fans and these giant ass dehumidifiers back on. So until next time, can't say next week, next time. Talk to you soon.
Bye.